The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club. Welcome to Eat 'Em Up, and boy, I am stoked for this one. We have SoCal businessman, entrepreneur, Clayton Kanemitsu. Clayton, how are things?
Things are good, man. Excited to be on the show. Obviously, we grew up playing together, and happy to be here.
And just you started a business, you scaled it, you eventually sold it for eight figures. Just quickly touch on that.
So after I stopped playing hockey in college, I got into a couple different things, one of them being YouTube and Twitch streaming, did professional like video game shoutcasting, stuff like that. Kind of got tired of being on camera 16 hours a day, editing videos for another 3-4 hours a day, wanted something that was a little bit more passive. So that's when I started looking into business development and ultimately started a footwear brand near the beginning of COVID, I guess in like March of 2020, which ultimately really helped the brand grow because people were staying inside. They were, you know, spending more money online. They had the extra cash from the government. So all those things played a factor into the success of the business. But, after running that for about 4 years, got a couple offers to buy us out. One of them just made sense with one of our clients that was using us for manufacturing, and everything, like I said, made sense for both parties, happy that we were able to exit.
And if you don't mind me asking, did you know that switch from YouTube to business was going to happen, or you were planning on just being, you know, a streamer doing the YouTube content that you're doing, not knowing that the business was going to follow?
So it wasn't intended. I thought I was just going to continue on being YouTuber, streamer, and kind of just add another revenue stream. Once I started seeing the numbers and being able to be off camera, not having to be, you know, when I was doing YouTube and streaming, I was streaming for 16 hours a day, editing the YouTube videos. I had an editor eventually after doing it for, a few years, but it started getting to be, exhausting. And so switching over to the business side of things, I was like, you know what, this actually makes a lot more sense. My time is, a lot more free to kind of explore other things. I don't have to be kind of strapped to my desk all day long.
Oh, love it. And just one last thing on it. When it came to the exit, was it a bidding process? Is there someone that you knew? Was there just you had so much hype going on in the game that there were just some VCs and just buyers that were looking to jump on? How did that all work?
There's a couple things that went on with it. We got our first offer to buy the company in near the beginning of 2022. And it was, for a good amount. It wasn't like life changing or anything like that. Decided to keep the company because I thought, we'd have a higher trajectory for the next couple of years. We knew we wanted to exit though. And, we started having a lot of these celebrity clients and athletes, actors reaching out to us to actually start making footwear for them. Cause I did like one or two videos on my YouTube channel and they found it through that. And they're like, hey, like, is it possible for you to do it for us? And then one of those connections was just like made sense for them to actually come buy out our, email list and branding. We also had kind of like a thing going on with Nike at the time, which caused some inventory issues because they didn't like one of the things that we were doing with one of our designs. So it just made sense at the time, and we worked something out that was beneficial for both of us.
Well, congrats to all your successes, and really appreciate that insight. And I know our audience is definitely going to love that content as well. Let's turn our sights to some hockey talk here. A lot going on throughout the National Hockey League. Let's revisit the Dubois trade with the Capitals and Kings. Of course, Kemper going the other way. Capitals, they've taken their momentum from last season. It was actually my pick for the last year's team to have the biggest jump in points in Caps. I don't know where they fit. I know they must have been top five teams that had the biggest jump, but they've just taken it a whole nother level. Stromer is, and of course, I'm talking to or in regards to Dylan Strom, Ryan Strom's brother, they're playing with the Caps, and just let's revisit it. Dubois is playing well. The Caps are playing well. Any just thoughts on that?
I think, you know, from the Kings side, obviously they're looking to bring on somebody with, you know, more skill and physicality, where the Caps are looking to start building for future with Strome. So that's just kind of like the initial thought that kind of popped into my mind when seeing that trade happen. I actually have Strome on my fantasy league, so he's one of the few people that I keep up with.
Nice. Yeah, no, I had the opportunity of actually playing with him and Tucson and just a cup of coffee there. Great guy. And there's just no surprise that he's just dominating out there. Yeah, when Dubois was on the Kings, it seemed like on his good games, he would just have an unbelievable first period or one period. One out of the three periods were just so dominant. But the other two periods, he was just sleeping. And even first preseason game, the Ducks, we were visiting Crypto there. And same circumstance. I remember how one of the periods was just lights out. Just put the team on his back and was dominant. Had the puck on his stick the whole period. And I think when people see those glimpses of him in those times, he is world class. But it's just that consistency. It's always been the consistency, but he's back at it. He's going to, or it seems like he's going to pass his career high that he set not too long ago when he was a member of the Winnipeg Jets. So look, it's working out for the Kings. I mean, the goaltending tandem with the Kings is looking flawless. So Kemper, he gets a fresh new scenery, and it's been working out with him and the Kings. And they're balling on a budget. They're in the goaltending department, the Kings are, but Caps, they're phenomenal. We'll get to Ovi here in a second. Colorado, they added two goalies here recently, just a totally different tandem. You know, Blackwood and Wedgewood, they're playing lights out. And look, their offense tied for sixth in the National Hockey League in goals per game, 3.35. Their power play tied for ninth, 23.7. That's a darn good percentage. And their offense is just lights out. It's been the defensive side of the puck, of course, the goaltending department. Just with the addition with these two netminders, it seems like they have it all now. Touch on just the newfound depth with the Avs.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Avs, obviously you have guys like McKinnon and McCarr that are kind of carrying the offense, and, you know, McCarr being defensive player, you know, obviously putting up a ton of points. They kind of just needed that last piece of the puzzle. So finding, you know, figuring out their goaltending situation, having somebody that they're comfortable with back there kind of just brings their team to be a more well-rounded unit. So, you know, just kind of seemed like it was the last thing that they were missing.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I just think the whole NHL's on notice, the whole NHL's on edge. It's just like, you know, that's the last thing that all these teams needed was just the Avs. They were already starting to come on. You could just see it. All they needed was goaltending, and sure enough, they got it. So look out, Western Conference. Let's move on to the New York Rangers. What the heck is going on with the blue shirts? Clayton, can you touch on it?
Honestly, not a whole lot. Don't follow the Rangers too much. You know, they you know, have you know, they need a little bit more on the scoring side of things. Could look at potentially trading, you know, one of their younger players for a more veteran leader that could potentially bring something together for them. But yeah, I mean, they gotta, you know, do something to get some spark back into the team.
Can you imagine? They're 2-8 in their last 10. Right now, the goal differential minus 10, 98 goals for, 108 goals against. They don't have the most goals against, but least goals for in that Metro division. Of course, the Ducks have New Jersey coming into town next game. That's not going to be easy. They're at the top. It's such a deep division there. And you look at just some of their team stats, nothing is boding well for them. They had a hot start out of the gate, and it just seems like it's the rumors, just the worst of the worst, whether Drury's too hardcore, he's too old school. You just really don't know where the negative, the root cause of all the negativity is starting from. A lot of the times it does start from, you know, up top. But look, you had even Trocheck say that, look, he's got a job to do in terms of moving Trouba over the Ducks, and he's not going to just sit around. So, look, we've seen the players back, Drury too. It's just been a back and forth. You got Brooksy there with the New York Post, and he's putting in his 2 cents each and every day, which isn't helping. Just remains to be seen. I'm kind of right there with you. It's like they have too many superstars. It's ridiculous. So some teams, some organizations are on the totally other side of it when it comes to just they're at the cap floor, and now you got Shesterkin. He's making what he's making. It's just it just remains to be seen what the Blue Shirts end up doing. You get a look at that Kucherov and Tkachuk knee on knee there. Did you watch that one? Let's get into some player safety notes here. Were you able to catch that knee on knee collusion?
Yeah. I saw it. Everything's happening so quick out there. It's hard to say whether or not the intent was there to actually, you know, hurt him. Obviously, Kachuk's, you know, out there playing tough. It's going to get under people's skin. So, you know, it comes to it, people want to make a hit on him, especially Kucherov. Like, he's obviously got a bit of a personality himself. So he's just trying to maybe make that extra step over, happen to get him with the knee. I didn't think there was any intent behind it, but, you know, at the end of the day, you never really know. Like, obviously, you know, guys are just playing hard out there. So sometimes it happens.
So chalking it up as gross negligence. Maybe.
Yes and no. I mean, like I said, it's more of the intent thing. Kachuk being the kind of player that he is, like, you and I are both, you know, used to playing against guys that are just chirping the whole time. So, like I said, it could go either way, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a good point, bringing up Kachuk and how he plays. It's almost like, on the flip side, it would make sense too, right? I mean, both guys, skill guys, they both kind of are chipping away, even though Kucherov, I mean, he barely has. Is he still at 2 minutes in penalties? For a while there, he was only at two. I don't know where he's at now. But so he keeps it clean, 5-on-5. But he has that way of at times being a pest. Kachuk, that's, I mean, he's not only an elite level player, but he's a pass through and through. So as you mentioned, Kachuk, I'm like, you know what? He could be on the other side as being the guy going, the perpetrator, if you will. So I could so see it. Great points. What about the Rempe hit? I know it happened a little while back now, but just combining maybe the two bigger collusions as far as, you know, suspensions involved, game mixed conduct. What were your thoughts on the 8-gamer for Rempe?
Yeah, I mean, big guy. So he's got long legs. He's, you know, been suspended for a couple like elbowing things as well, where his elbow's right around the guy's, you know, face anyway. You know, don't want to keep chalking things up to gross negligence, but I do want to give guys, you know, the benefit of the doubt if possible. Obviously, player safety is a huge thing. You want to keep guys safe out there because it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's a game. You want guys to play hard. But at the same time, you know, they at the end of the day, they do have to be responsible for what they're doing. So, you know, suspensions are, you know, good in a way that they'll at least make him think twice and be a little bit more in control of what they're doing out there.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide. Good points. Buffalo, what the heck is going on in Buffalo? If you're the GM, what are you doing right now, Clayton?
I mean, so they got a lot of young talent, obviously, you know, Tage Thompson, another guy in my fantasy league, who's, you know, fairly, you know, kind of going up and down this season a little bit, but, they got, like I said, a lot of young talent. Feels like they're kind of just stuck in neutral a bit. So having something that might kind of, you know, spark their team as well would be something that I'm looking for. Maybe, you know, like you said, if you're the GM, what are you doing? Maybe a change up in, you know, the front office, maybe some coaching, or again, some veteran leaders to bring in something for them as well.
Yeah, I think what's really hurting them too is you got Benson and Krebs not taking that the next step, right? And I just think if you're, you know, you got a young roster, you just need, and there's a lot of pressure. You need your young guys going. Anaheim's in a similar situation to them, just trying to turn the corner here. Tough divisions, respectively. I thought McLeod, that pickup was great. I think, of course, Byram. He's looked as smooth as ever on the back end. In fact, they're back in with Power and Dahlin. I mean, they are lights out, so shifty on the back end. As you mentioned, probably still considered a bounce back year for Tage Thompson. It's just, you know, what kind of help is he really getting? You got a guy like who's that Northern Canadian boy there, Cousins there, or Cousins. Yeah. He's been subject of trade talk, right? So it's a guy, and rumors linked him to Nashville. Of course, nothing came into fruition, but it just remains to be seen. I don't know what you can do. I think you got to shake things up, because now, what is it, 12 years without 12 seasons without playoffs? And I didn't think Ottawa was that many times without a playoff berth. I thought we were second in command, but it's Ottawa, then us. But look, it's they got so many pieces. I guess you can make the argument that they could turn it on at any which moment here, but it's really up to guys like Benson, guys like Krebs to take it up a notch. Tuck's having a good year. I thought for the pickup and the price, Zucker is playing well. He had a nice tally against us here at Honda Center. And, you know, you know what you're going to get with Zucks there. But yeah, when it comes to guys like Benson and Krebs, when they take that next step, so will the Buffalo Sabres. Boston, Coach Joe Sacco. I mean, boy, they are cooking. Since his arrival, what I think it's now been 12-5-1 under interim head coach Joe Sacco. Thoughts on overall Boston? They're turning the tides there. They're starting to cook. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, with the results, obviously they speak for themselves. They're doing really well. Also, it seems like they're playing a lot more disciplined than they normally have been. So it'll definitely be interesting to see if they keep him as, you know, a permanent guy, not just an interim guy. Obviously, if you're a coach just kind of filling in, trying to make a name for yourself with an organization, then, you know, he's doing a good job of it, and you know, you could potentially make it a full-time thing if he keeps it up.
Yeah, just looking at some of their team stats here, face-off percentage, 52.8. I mean, that's fifth in the National Hockey League. Their other offensive stats, just somewhat so-so. Their goaltending can come on at any which moment. They're tied for 14th in goals allowed per game, 3.03. Shots on goals allowed. So actually, their defensive numbers are pretty steady. It's all about the goal scoring, not generating enough. I know, obviously, with their record as of late, it's trending in the right direction, but they got a goaltending duo that can turn it on. We know their back end with McAvoy and just loads of talent, Lindholm there. I mean, they can make a serious push here on the last quarter or so of the season entering playoffs. Gibby, of course, he goes down to a stick in the, around the eye area. That was unfortunate. Now he's out due to some illness. So it's a big story. It's a big story here in Anaheim. We hate to see it. If you're a hockey fan who just loves good goaltending overall, you hate seeing a guy like Gibby out, and he just helps this Ducks team. Just overall thoughts on Gibby, what he's meant to the Ducks organization. I mean, you growing up a Ducks fan, and following the orange now, just overall thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's been a backbone for the Ducks for a few years. You know, following, you know, when I was a fan, Jean-Sébastien Jaguar, so kind of, you know, big shoes to fill with that. But You know, overall, he's been, you know, keeping the Ducks in games that, you know, sometimes they have no business being in. So just, you know, being a rock in the net and like I said, the backbone of the team, just trying to keep that going. And I don't know, you said he's sick or, you know, injured, trying to get him back in good health, keep him healthy. And obviously they need him. So.
Yeah, he'll make the second save. He'll make a lot of times the third and even fourth at times, and a lot of times all in highlight reel fashion. So we're cheering for a speedy recovery, Gibby, and we look forward to seeing you back on that Honda Center ice. Thoughts on the Canucks drama? Just maybe a potential rift between Pettersson and Miller. I don't know if you've been tuning into that whole situation, have you?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's kind of like no one really knows exactly what's going on. It just seems like with Pettersson, obviously he's been, you know, performing a lot better when Miller's not on the ice. They obviously have something going on. They're putting them on separate power play units. You know, from what I can tell, it's potentially Miller's leadership style. Obviously he's very intense player, very intense guy. Obviously he, you know, most likely wants Pettersson to be performing at his best at all times. So there could be some issues with how Pettersson is responding to the leadership style of Miller. But at the end of the day, obviously they have a job that they need to do. So they, you know, need to leave those differences off the ice as much as possible.
Yeah, I just, it's a weird locker room dynamic going on in Vancouver right now, because on one end you got Garland naming his son after the Quinn Hughes, essentially, and the, you know, Quinn Hughes being the godfather, you know, obviously nothing wrong with that. But then it seems like the other side of the locker room, you got a potential rift between Millsy and Pettersson. So it's like you got the extreme closeness on one hand, and then you got just some family conflict on the other. So very interesting to see. Look, Vancouver, they were slower out of the gate just because their goaltending, Demko being out, last 10, okay, 3-4 in their last 10. And they got better hockey to be played. So once they figure out, don't know if it's for certain. I know it's they're asked on the media, Millsy there saying, hey, you want me to get Petey? I can get him in here if you know want me to talk about it, or you want to talk about Petey, at least direct your questions directly to him. So it's just kind of been passive at times. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all winds up. What about Crosby? He just passed Lemieux there for the Penguins assist record, big time, just big time news. It's just been a generational talent. Sid has. I thought it was funny. He said he wasn't necessarily, you know, I don't know, paying attention to the record. He was quite passive in regards to the media asking just about just what he thought about passing Lemieux and just that whole situation. Is that a problem in your mind? Just when it comes to the cliche-ness of some of the responses we're seeing from hockey players, or that's just going to continue to be hockey players, and hockey players are going to be hockey players. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think, you know, hockey players are hockey players at the end of the day. But, you know, Sidney's been around the league for a really long time. You know, it's very, very possible that he wasn't paying attention. But, on the other hand, it's, you know, you can't be that close to a major record and not really know what's going on, right? Like, you kind of have it in the back of your head. So I think there's some, you know, culture around the, you know, hockey culture of just being, you know, trying to put your best foot forward, being humble about things. Almost to the point where people are kind of memeing it on social media, where people just give those, you know, standard responses to almost everything that they're saying, until like there's, you know, one or two guys that actually speak their minds, and then that's, you know, a big deal. But with Sidney, obviously he's, you know, wants to keep things professional as much as possible, tries, you know, have his image. He's PR trained, I'm sure. So you know, just keeping it simple in terms of his response, not trying to bring a whole lot of attention to himself, I guess.
Makes sense. Keeping it safe. That's something that he's always done. And the reason I emphasize that, and I think it's important to bring it to light, is the WNBA just passed the NHL in TV viewership. So it's just like, what is it going to take for the NHL not to be passed up by any leagues? It doesn't matter who it is. And, you know, how does the NHL pass up a NBA or, you know, NFL? And I know that's shooting for the stars, but you got to shoot for the stars. And I'm just curious, what is it going to take for, you know, once again, us not to be passed up and us start passing other sports up? Because that's what we want to see. We all love the game of hockey. I'm sure a lot of listeners are out there just like, you know, how does something like that happen? And I'm interested if it's maybe the cliché-ness on some of the responses in the media, if it maybe turns people away for whatever which reason. So I think it's definitely circumstantially important to bring up. Turning our sights to the Detroit Red Wings, sick barn there, that Little Caesars barn that they just made. It's a lights out venue. Been there twice, and I look forward to going back because it's lights out. But they made a coaching change. I guess Lalonde, he was a fan favorite. The fans liked his personality, his generosity towards the media and the fans. It seems like the players liked him, but they just weren't winning. Bring in Todd McClellan, 1,144 games coached in the National Hockey League. That's a lot of games, a lot of experience, bulk of the time with San Jose there, stints in Edmonton, LA, of course. 598 wins, 412 losses, and then 134 overtime points. Look, I mean, overall thoughts on that coaching change? Was this the right move in Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, he's a experienced coach, got a lot of games under his belt, has that veteran mentality behind what he's bringing to the team. Detroit's still in, you know, another growing phase for them, so, you know, could be looking to him for being the main guy, you know, going into the next 4 or 5 years or more. So I think it's a good thing for them.
Yeah, look, I feel like his name was just in the free agent discussion for too long. I've always just thought highly of him as a coach. LA did this weird, just they were well above 500. I know they were trending in the wrong direction. I just find it strange because if you look at like the New York Islanders, right, it's like, look at that situation. They were the same way. Don't even know the last coach's name there, but over 500, well over 500. Hey, maybe trending in the wrong direction, 5-10 games. And then just it goes to show that grass ain't always greener on the other side. And of course, we saw the video of Patrick Waugh. It was an open skate, open to the public there, and he publicly addressed them post-skate saying they got better. And boy, there have been better times there on the island. And it just goes to show, you don't want to blow it up. I'm looking at my Raiders, and it's just like they blew it up. Derek Carr, MVP type season, and it wasn't good. They blow it up, and look at them now. It's so unfortunate. So just it remains to be seen how that all transpires there in Detroit, but I like it. From not a fan of the Wings, if I'm just a fan of an opposing, you know, with the Ducks and all about Orange Country, look, for them, I thought it was a good choice. So turn our sights to Ovi, the Great Eight. Look, he's 25 away from passing Gretzky. He just tucked number 870. Just what has he meant to the game of hockey? You watch him for a long time. Just any insight into the Great Eight?
Yeah, I mean, obviously to catch a record that stood for so long in this era of hockey, I think it says a lot about Ovechkin himself. His longevity, I think, is another huge thing. Just from day one till now, it seems like he's still playing at the same level, same competitiveness. It'd be interesting to see what his interview looks like after he passes Gretzky, to see if he has that same sort of Sidney Crosby response, or if he's got a little bit more personality behind his, which, I mean, typically he does, right? But yeah, we'll see. I'm sure he knows exactly where he's at on that record chase.
Just like, you want to talk about greatness, right? It's like you would think that he would slow down. I think everyone's anticipating him slowing down. Even Gretzky came out and said, hey, he's going to start getting nervous when he, I don't know what the exact quote was, but something along those lines. And he's proving any doubters wrong. There's not many doubters, but look, he just continues with all the pressure in the world. Everyone's eyeing that record. He knows it's there. And for him to just continue to score at that incredible rate, this is the most skilled the game has been. As far as the sheer density, you look roster to roster, there's just so much high-end talent. You know, maybe it was the first two lines, but now you're seeing, you know, top three, third liners at, you know, point a game. And it's getting to be a better league. More teams are more competitive. Look, you're a couple of games below 500 now, and you're at the bottom of the division. It's ruthless. It's cutthroat. It's so competitive. And he just continues to get it done. Dylan Strome, speaking of hot and readies and Little Caesars there, he has been dishing him out and just putting him right on the wheelhouse of Ovi there, night in and night out. So it's fun to watch. And Patty Kane, he's solidifying himself as, well, right now he's in the discussion of top two greatest American-born players of all time. He just notched point number 1,300, and that's a lot of points. He's the second U.S. born player to notch 1,300 points. Just touch on his play, what he's meant to the game, and his pedigree overall.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite players growing up. Obviously, the fact that he's, you know, what, 5'10", could barely, you know, do a bench press in the combine. Right, that whole storyline and people thinking if he was going to be able to last in the NHL. That's, you know, obviously he's proving all those people wrong now. Been with a few different teams as well, still being able to get things done. Who's the other players? Is it Mike Modano that he's with?
Probably. I'm assuming so. Yeah. Player?
Yeah. I mean, again, different day and age, and to still continue to be able to put up numbers. I mean, yeah, obviously he's one of the best there is to do it. So happy for him.
Yeah, and the things I admire most about him, I was about to say a thing. I love the entries, the pulling up, facing the play. He's got the distance on whoever's pressuring him. You know, more than a stick length, and he pulls up. Facing the play, hits someone in the second wave on the weak side. I just love the pull-ups, the entries, the slowing it down, the speed behind the puck. I just love the spinoramas, right? Those spinoramas, he cuts in. You think he's going to make a play to the weak side. He quick little spinorama throws the puck and goes short side shelf on the back end. It's just, I mean, those are some of the things just skill-wise that I've been appreciated over the years, but still relied upon heavily. Total on ice, 14 a game. He's going around a half a point a game. Things are slowing down in a sense for him. Not the shooter he once was. Him and DeBrincat, I think they've had better stretches. But you know, maybe the new coaching change was really all they needed, and they're gonna take their game to a whole nother level. So that just remains to be seen. But what hasn't he done? Three cups. Just you're talking about two original six franchises that are just looked with the highest esteem, both those franchises, Chicago and Detroit, and just a lot of pressure. I mean, those are the biggest stages in the National Hockey League, or two of, and he's just got it done both places. Once again, things are slowing down a little bit. He's getting to an age where it's not old, but he's definitely past 30, and it's showing a little bit. But any which moment of the game, he's turning the Jets on and he's making a highlight reel play. Okay, last but not least, Macklin Celebrini leading rookies in goals with 12 point a game, 27 points in 27 games. He's also had that load management, the same type of load management that Leo had last season. It doesn't seem as if he's missed as much games. Don't know if what kind of from load management plan to load management plan. I don't know in comparison, but I know they're doing a similar thing with him. To still be at a point a game, he's rocking on the power play, 8 power play points, roughly a third power play point per game, and that's unbelievable. So 1958 of total on ice. Shot volume is crazy. 90 shots on goal in 27 games, so he's ripping it with the best of them. Face-off percentage, not terrible, 48.9. Yeah, you want to be over 50, but for a first-year guy, I mean, speak on his consistency, just anything you've seen of him lately.
Yeah, I mean, so he's following up the rookie season of Connor Bedard. He's, you know, Bedard's story is actually kind of what brought me back to watching the game. So Celebrini now for this year being, you know, number one draft, he's been doing everything that the Sharks need him to do. They obviously didn't have a very good season last year, still trying to build their team. I think Celebrini can be that guy that they're building around. You know, in terms of the, you know, management of, like, you know, playing him to the extent that, you know, Bedard was, for Chicago last year, you know, obviously they want him to be around for a long time. So I don't see, you know, any too big of issue with that. But yeah, I mean, he's been, you know, electric, as they say, in terms of his production so far already. So good to see him doing well, for his rookie season.
Yeah, I just think he's such a student of the game. He loves the game. He's always got a smile on his face. Those diving plays, right? So you just saw one the other game where he just dives it on the entry, he tips it, and he gets a point on the play. It just he plays desperate hockey at all times. And oh, such good stuff, Clayton. You know your hockey. I love it. I know you know your business too. So we're gonna end on that. What is one piece of advice that you'd give to an aspiring entrepreneur?
I mean, there's a ton of things I could say, but I would say probably the first and the one thing would just be, you know, don't give up. Just, you know, there's going to be a lot of hard things that happen. Nothing's ever perfect. So you just got to keep persevering through it. All the challenges are going to come. And yeah, I mean, don't think that you're the only one that ever had any challenges. Just figure out the way around it and keep moving forward.
You got to bust down that door, right? That's what it's all about. Any plugs? I mean, just websites, social media, anything you want to plug?
I mean, you can follow me on any social media at Clay Tano. It's on everything if you guys want to keep up with my story as well. Other than that, I appreciate you having me on. Like I said, you know, we played together all the way back in the day, SoCal days. You brought up Zucker a little bit too. I remember playing against him growing up. So great to see you doing well. And yeah, appreciate the you know, the invite.
No, I appreciate you hopping on. Look forward to the next one. Really do. Keep doing big things in business. And I'm just glad you're back in the whole hockey landscape as well. So great talk. Look forward to the next one. And Clayton, until next time, good luck.
Sounds good, man. Thanks. See you.
Nice chat with Clayton, who's just crushing it. Ducks fan, grew up a Ducks fan, and he's been so busy, right, with business ventures and so on and so forth, that took a step aside of the game of hockey there for a short time. But, of course, as we heard, Bedard on the scene, Leo, these young studs here back in the game, that he's just, it's gotten him back in it. So it's so great to hear a guy like that's insight, his mindset on business, and just his overall thoughts on this new wave game here. So thanks for hopping on, Clayton. Look forward to catching up with you here soon. Let's just a little recap on last night's game, and maybe you can say last evening's game. 1 p.m. puck drop, finished early evening there. So you gotta love those early games, right? You eat, get to the rink, Ducks win 2 points, you get home and you get to watch your favorite shows in a good mood. It's unbelievable. It's perfect. Let's get right at it here. Shots on goal, 32 for the good guys, 23 for the Oil. These are the two combinations that they need to start stringing together, because it worked in yesterday's game. So they let in shots on goal, the Ducks, and 60% win percentage in the faceoff circle to, of course, the Edmonton Oilers, 40%. So they didn't score on the power play, 0 for 5. Edmonton goes 2 for 3. So that's going to be huge. It's going to make these games that much easier. If you know you can, at the high end, pop 5 goals, of course, either on the PK or even strength, it's one of those things where you get that figured out, it's going to alleviate the pressure. PP has got to continue to get better. They looked better last game. They did. The entries, set breakouts were a little bit of a struggle still. Got to get on the same page there. But the overall puck movement, the flow, the shot volume, and the quality shots on goal, that rose. So they need to keep at it. They're physical. They got to keep out hitting these teams. 26 hits for the good guys to Edmonton's 13. So it's going to come down to shot volume, out shooting the opposition. And it's going to come down to faceoffs. I mean, those are the two departments that they need to continue to do good things in. Let's get into some World Junior talk. We're going to worry about the two top dogs, and that's U.S. and that's Canada, right? So all the other teams, Finland, hey, it looks like they got quality goaltending, quality team overall. Let's get right to it. Just on the first day of play, USA 10, Germany 4. Great support by U.S. It's just these NTDP guys, right? They just play together. It shows the camaraderie, the chemistry. It shows more than these other teams. Playing together for 2 years, and then you got some of those guys that maybe didn't make the top 40 or whatever, how they make the team, and then they join these guys for like these little tournaments or one-off games, and so they're always deep, and they're always picking from the top USHL and so on and so forth. That James Hagans, a lot of offense goes through him. Everything goes through him, whether it's on the power play, 5-on-5, he was shifty. He was dynamic, multi-point game. They were lights out. They were scoring in so many different fashions. And that Trey Augustine, if these guys want to go deep, he's not going to be their guy. Yeah, 3 out of those 4 goals there should have been stopped. Flute goals, the fourth one, there's no chance. You're not going to, it was a secondary opportunity. It was just a bomb of a shot. So you can't do much about that. But some of the other goals, I don't know. Canada 4, Finland nothing. Gavin McKenna, how about that patience in front? He doesn't get it on the initial one, but then he goes bar chi on the short side on the follow-up. Easton Cowan. His goal was an absolute beauty, short side chi. It reminded me of Bouchard's goal there. How about that? That was a snipe. And Easton Cowan's goal, a little bit closer. Bouchard was a little bit farther out there in yesterday's game. But this Easton Cowan, I mean, what a shot. Nice passing play on the third goal. It was a nasty one-on-one move at the blue line from Price. Oh, my gosh. It was disgusting. And a nice finish in tight from Pinelli. The empty netter sealed it. I tell you what, that Carter George was phenomenal. They better go with him if they want success, because he was lights out. Lafayette 3 versus Canada 2, their next one. That was in a shootout. First goal from Luchenko was filthy, nice stutter step for the breakaway finish. He looked behind him, and then a little skirt, and then he just slid it home. It was nice. Ivivakovic, I don't know how you say that. Ivivakovic was the goaltender for Canada. Look, George is their guy. George is their guy. You know, he didn't play poorly in net, but you could just tell that George is their guy moving forward if they want success. How about this? Latvia's first ever World Juniors victory over Canada. That was a complete shock. It was only a Latvia's third win in the preliminary round of World Juniors. Isn't that insane? You'd think they would pile more wins over the years with Merzlinkis. I'm assuming he was on one of their teams, but they've had some one-off players here and there. You just think they'd have more preliminary round wins. It's crazy. Canada, what are you doing? Just you can't be losing to that team. Nothing against Latvia, but if you're primetime, you just can't. They got their worst play out of them, and Carter George is their guy. Plain and simple. If they want success, Canada, they got to, from here on out, stick with George. United States 5 versus Latvia 1. Team USA is passing on the PP, or even strength. Once again, it looks like they've all played together for years, which they have. Danny Nelson on the backhand going cheese for the fourth goal was just unfair. The fifth goal of the game, nasty shelf talk on a broken 2-on-1 in net was Hampton Slikensky, and he was dominant. They got to stick with him. They can't go back to Augustine. I'm sorry. They got to stick with Big S there, Slikensky. And USA 3, Finland 4 in OT. Augustine, he looked shaky against Germany. And luck. Nice shot for Finland on the first goal of the game, but it was from too deep. Like, he needs to make that save. He just does. So I've said I'm not going to go on and on about the U.S. his goaltending situation. Ducks prospect Carey Terrance with a beauty of a cut in, a quick little snapper for right over the pad on the far side. It was beauty. Can't wait to see him do that in a Ducks uni here at Honda Center. We just can't wait. And Finland's Tendi Rimpinen, he was outstanding. He saved the game for the Fens. Without him, it's a USA dub. I can guarantee it. Last but not least, Canada 3, Germany nothing. This game was all about Carter George. It's Team USA's offense versus Canada's goaltending this upcoming match, and it's going to be a thriller. I got USA 3, Canada 2, and that's what it's going to come down to. USA's pristine offense, passing, camaraderie, communication against Canada's goaltender. I'm assuming it's going to be George. For their sake, it better be. Regardless, USA 3, Canada 2. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be back and forth. And hopefully the red, white, and blue, they get the dub. Thanks for tuning in to another epi of Eat 'Em Up. We'll see you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.